never know where I'm going to end up here, so I know for a fact that if I was to trip over a microphone stand and fall down, everybody would remember something about today. But it may take me a little while to get back up. Now I'm not as young as I used to be. So we're going to attempt not to do that. Oh my goodness. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you guys to stand while we read the word. And then I get to share from one of my favorite books today. So this will actually be fun for me. Although it's fun a lot of the times anyway, but this one will be more fun. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you and I praise you. I pray right now that I would step back and that you would step forward, that your voice would be heard. Father, I pray that we would see the look in your eyes, Lord, as you reach out and share your love with us today. Father, guide us and lead us and draw us to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please stand as we read the word. We are going to be in Jonah chapter 3 today. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone great and small put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, no human or animal, no herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Humans and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God. All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may yet relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger so that we do not perish. When God saw what they had done, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. So you have heard me say over and over this year as we've been preaching through the prophets, how tough that can be. Well, today is a little different. I get to preach from the book of Jonah. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I love the book of Jonah. It is this story of disobedience, but then there's redemption and there's repentance. And all of this while, God is just working for the people. And I love this story because I see myself in many parts of the story. Often when you hear the story of Jonah preached, we focus on Jonah's time in the fish. And like Pastor Raul said last week, we have this cartoonish idea of, you know, he's in the belly of this whale with this little campfire and singing songs and praying or whatever it is. I don't believe that's the way it was, but that's what we think of because that's what we've seen. So today, we pick up just after Jonah has been vomited out of the fish, okay? Verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." The interesting thing about this verse is that it almost exactly mirrors the first verse of chapter 1. When Jonah was very first called out to go and proclaim this message to the city of his enemy. But a lot has happened since then. He's ran away. He almost drowned. He almost took a whole boat of sailors with him. spent 3 days in the belly of a fish, and here he is, having just been regurgitated onto dry land by this fish. A lot has happened. And here comes God again. And he calls him again. And he says, wait a minute. I want you to go to the city of your enemy and proclaim the word that I have for them. This time, Jonah responds in completely the opposite direction, which is probably a very good thing for him if we read the rest of the story. He chooses to obey God, and he chooses to go to Nineveh, and he chooses to proclaim the message that God has given him. So in verse 3, Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. I want to point out something here. The city of Nineveh and where Jonah was first on the shore is about 550 miles apart. I know that sometimes it gets lost in this passage that these two places were separated by so much distance. But I want to be clear here. Jonah had ample time and opportunity to turn from what God had called him to do before he reached the city of Nineveh. 550 miles in his time would have taken days, if not weeks or months, to travel. It would have taken him time to get there. And at any point of time, he could have given up and said, nope, I'm not doing it. I don't want to talk to these people anyway. They're my enemy. Why do you want me to do this? But he didn't. He had done that before, but he had repented and changed direction, and now he was doing what God had called him to do. In verse 4 and 5, Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out 40 days more, Nineveh will be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God, and they proclaimed a fast, and everyone great and small put on sackcloth. If things were not already interesting in this passage here, they get even more interesting. This is one of those things that only God can do. Jonah goes to a city of unbelievers that don't know God, and he proclaims this message of destruction to them. He doesn't give a call to repentance or even any sort of way out that God would relent. There's no hint that God would relent in this destruction. He just says 40 days more and Nineveh will be destroyed. But the people respond. They hear the message that they will be overthrown, and they respond to it. They believe, and they repent. They put on sackcloth, and they declare a fast. And I think that it's interesting here that the same word used for overthrown can also be read as overturned. And so, to overturn something is simply to turn it over, to change it. I don't know about you, but to me, that sounds completely like repentance. That sounds like I was going one way, and then God changed. I changed, and now I'm going the other way. Overturned. Overthrown. In verse 6 through 8, when the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh by the decrees of the king and the nobles. No human, nor animal, nor herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Humans and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God. All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. The response from the king here amazes me as well. You got to remember that in this time, the king was like above all. He was even said to have been placed there by divine right. He knelt to no one. And here, he hears the word of God coming from a prophet that he doesn't know, from a God that he doesn't know. And he humbles himself immediately. He puts on sackcloth, places himself in ashes, and repents of the actions of his people. So much so that he declares a fast for the entire city. Although, to be fair, the fast was already happening, right? The people had already decided that we need to change. But here you have this king who is high and lifted up, brings himself low and humbles himself before God and changes everything about himself to put himself in a right relationship with God. Verse 9 is great. It says, who knows? God may relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger so that we do not perish. Remember, Jonah never said that this was a call to repentance. He never gave any indication that God would relent at all. He just came and declared that God is going to overthrow or overturn the city in 40 days. The king says, who knows? God may yet relent. We are going to humble ourselves before him. We are going to change. We are going to repent. We are going to turn to him. And who knows? Maybe he will relent. I want to be clear on this. All of this was not an attempt to manipulate God. It was not well, if I do this, then God's going to do this. It was, I understand that what we've been doing was wrong, and I'm going to come in front of God. I'm going to humble myself, and maybe, just maybe, he will relent, and everything will change. In verse 10, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. I love this part of the passage. God sees them. He sees their true repentance, and he changes his mind. We just sung a song. Chris was talking about it earlier, about seeing the look in the eyes of Jesus. I can see the look in your eyes. God sees them, sees their hearts. He sees how they're changed. He sees how they're humbled themselves before him. And instead of destruction, he offers grace and mercy. Instead of what they deserve, he offers grace and mercy. And just to be clear, none of us deserve grace and mercy. It is a free gift that only God can give. Grace and mercy from a very loving God. God gives us second chances, even though we don't deserve them. He gives us chances to do what we are called to do. And he also gives us chances to hear his voice and turn from what we are doing towards him. Jonah messed up. God called him to go preach to a people. He said no. He ran the other direction and drug a bunch of people along with him into his chaos and his emptiness. But God gives him a second chance. The people of Nineveh were so far from God that he was going to bring destruction upon them. They didn't even know who he was. But when they heard his voice through Jonah, they changed, turned to him, and he gives them a second chance. I love this story because I'll tell you what, I am a person that needs second chances. I don't know about the rest of you, but I know I do because there are times when I mess up. There are times when God tells me to do something, and I'm like, no, that's not who I am. But then, when you hear his voice, he gives you opportunity to change that. He gives you opportunity to come back to him and to do what he's called you to do. We need to know this because we never know what God will do when we are obedient. We may be called to deliver a message and the entire community is changed because of it. Jonah was called out to deliver a message to people that he hated, that he had no desire to even go and talk to. So he ran from it. But when he turned and he did what he was called to do, an entire community, a large city, 3 days' walk across, full of people, turned from what they were doing and heard God's voice. There may be an entire community that God is sending you to, or it may just be one person. When we are obedient in our calling, transformation can happen. People can be changed. When we are disobedient, we drag other people into our chaos and our emptiness, and we just move farther and farther away. Until next thing you know, we're struggling to breathe inside the belly of a fish, under the water. We've all been given a calling. You may be the only person that can help lead somebody from their chaos and their destructive life patterns to the grace and mercy that only God offers. You may be the one that has been called to give this message of grace and mercy to a person or a people that is on the verge of destruction. But only if you're obedient. Only if you're willing to listen to God's voice and do what he's asking. A God of second chances. I did not grow up in the church. Some of you have heard this already. I grew up in a life that was very far from God. Spiral of drugs and alcohol and addiction, hate and violence. That was my life. I deserved destruction. Every bit of it. I deserved it all. I was dark and ugly on the inside. And there was nothing that I could do to get away from it. And then there's this God of second chances that changes everything about everyone. He pours out his grace and his mercy when you don't deserve it. And he will work through you to continue to pour out grace and mercy to others that don't deserve it, if you will just turn and listen to him. You may be in the same place that I was, and you may be in need of a second chance. And I'll tell you what, God is waiting for you to ask for a second chance. He is waiting for you to humble yourself before him, to lay down pride, to lay down your chaos and your destructive attitudes, and just reach out to him. You want to know why? Because he is a God of grace and mercy, and he loves you no matter what. He created you to be good, and he loves you. As I call the worship team up, I'm going to pray, and we're going to share in communion. But I want to take a few moments, and I want you guys to reflect on what your relationship right now is with Christ, on what your relationship right now is with each other, on whether or not you've been running from a calling, whether or not you've been running from God. I want you to take an opportunity, take a moment to think through it, to pray through it, to hear God's voice. That you can be changed, that you will be transformed by grace and love and mercy. Father God, I thank you and I praise you. I thank you for who you are and what you do, Father God. I thank you that you are the God of second chances. I thank you that you forgive us. I thank you that you lead us. I thank you that you call us out of our darkness, out of our chaos, out of our own destruction, and you lead us to grace and mercy continually, Father. Help us to be agents of grace and mercy. Help us to be close to you, Father God. Guide us and lead us, Father. Father, I pray right now, Lord. I pray that you would bless these elements, that you would work in them, that they would be a means of grace to us all, that we would recognize their transforming power, that we would recognize you at work in, that we would be brought together. I thank you so much for what you're doing, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When you guys are ready, come to the table.